Well, hey, welcome to my daily teaching videos. Hey, in today's video, it's really just an introduction because I'm going to begin a brand new series all on the theme of personal vision. I've actually just written a book on this subject and more about that in a moment. So over the next really few weeks, I'm going to be sharing from this book, more importantly from this book, and also from my life about the idea that God has a plan, God has a vision for our life. I think most of us would agree with that. I know the thoughts and the plans I have toward you, says the Lord. My question is, do we know his thoughts? Do we know his plans? Do we have his vision? And I'm going to be sharing with you about defining a personal vision for how God wants you to walk with him for the rest of your life. Really encouraging material. It's been transformational for me and so many for our church communities here in New England, and I'm going to be sharing that with you. Before we do that, let me do two or three quick housekeeping things as usual for 30 seconds. Number one, big thanks to all of the subscribers to my YouTube channel. We've just hit 450,000 subscribers, and we're believing by faith with God's help to get to 1 million subscribers by the end of 2024. So why not help us by subscribing? Give this video a thumbs up, a like, drop me a comment, and more importantly, share this with your friends. Secondly, yeah, I do have this book. It's out right now on Amazon called Personal Vision. Brian Simmons, the author of the Passion Translation, wrote the foreword for this. And I really encourage you to get a copy. You can download this as a Kindle or as a paperback on Amazon. There'll be a link below to do that. Secondly, I've got so many things going on in my ministry. At the time of recording, I'm here in New England. I'm going to be in Florida in April, in France and Belgium in May. We're looking at doing a mission trip to Ireland in June. Lots of different things going on. Why not check out our website? Or a great way of staying in touch with us is to sign up for our email newsletter. Again, link below, and we send you a free gift when you do that. And lastly, I want to say a big thank you to all of the partners of my ministry. That's those who pray and support our ministry financially. We really appreciate you guys. You can do that even for $1 a month. It's not a big commitment, but we appreciate you loving and sending us to the nations. Again, link below if you're interested in doing that. Boom. So let's talk about vision. I want to begin by reading two key scriptures. One of them, I think many of us have heard often. Maybe not that often. Another, can I be honest, I've never really seen this scripture before. I'm sure I've read it, but I'd never seen it. I'd never noticed it. Let me put it that way. Sherlock Holmes once challenged Dr. Watson and said, "How many stairs are there up to the first floor of 221B Baker Street?" And Watson said, I don't know. And Holmes's point was, you've seen them every day, but you've never noticed them. And I want to read a verse from Ezekiel 40 that I'd seen, but I'd never noticed, and also one from Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk 2:4 is the famous verse, probably one of the ones that Paul pulls off and bases his ministry on. I've quoted that for many years. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38 say that the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. The just will live by faith. And yet the very context of Habakkuk saying that, or the Lord saying that to Habakkuk would be a better way of phrasing that, is verse 2, where the Lord says to Habakkuk, see the vision. Now, I'll come back to this, but it's the imperative form of the verb. It's a command. Do this. See the vision, make it plain or understandable or defined. Write it down that the one who reads it may run with it. Habakkuk 2:2. See the vision, look at it, observe it, see it, make it plain. Write it down, define it, move from the assumed to the defined. See the vision, make it plain, write it down, that the one who reads it, and I think that's also you and I, the one who reads it, may release action, and it will change the way they walk. It will actually turn a walk into a run. It will accelerate them in the plans and purposes of God. See the vision, make it plain, that the one who reads it may run with it. And in Ezekiel chapter 40, I really love this verse. This is so cool. And verse 4, excuse me, I should have found this before, but Ezekiel 40, verse 4, The Lord's speaking to Ezekiel, and he says, "Son of man, look with your eyes." Four things in this verse I want you to catch. Look, see with your eyes. Hear with your ears, number two. Number three, fix your mind on the things I have shown you. and then go forth and declare them to the house of Israel. One verse. See with your eyes, hear with your ears, fix your mind or meditate on, think about the things I have shown you, and then go and declare them to the house of Israel. And over the next few, the next few weeks, I'm going to be coming back to those verses every day. And I want to challenge you to go on a journey with me, a journey of vision. I think it's very easy. There's a lot of teaching about vision. And to be honest, I sometimes find that very like positive and hoorah and Tony Robbins. I've got nothing against Tony Robbins, that kind of thing. And sometimes like quite frothy and surface level. And yet I've been really meeting with the Lord about this and thinking about this recently, that it's funny, whenever somebody mentions the word vision, I tend to think of like, what's the vision for the church? What's the vision for this? And I've never completely applied that truth to my life or your life. And I believe we should have a vision for how we are called to walk with God. I want you to just think, I'm really going to ask some questions as part of this series. So here's my question to you today. How does God want you to walk with Him for the rest of your life? You know, I believe God has a vision for your life and my life. And I don't think that vision is particularly about going to Africa, France, Europe, America, starting a church, starting a business, doing this, doing that, raising children. We tend to think of vision in terms of the externals. And of course, there's a part of that that is valid and real. I think primarily God's more interested in who you are than what you do. And I think in the kingdom of God, what you do is actually the outflow and overflow of who you are. And if we don't actually settle the who we are, what's actually going to happen is that what we do will never hit the target. Even if I accomplish a big checklist of all the things that I think God has called me to do externally, lead a church, take mission trips, do this, do that, do the other, but I don't become the person He purposes me to be, I'm always going to miss the target. I'm going to miss His plan. So how do you see yourself? How do others see you? More importantly, how does God see you? And I believe God wants to give us a vision for who He calls us to be. I think God wants me to live the rest of my life, frankly, as a much loved son. Yeah? God wants me to win before I ever do anything. It's interesting, when Jesus started His ministry, God the Father spoke from heaven, "This is my son and I'm pleased with him." Jesus passed every test, not at Calvary's cross, not when He opened blind eyes or walked on water or ascended into heaven. Jesus passed every test relationally in His intimacy, in His place of abiding, if you will, with the Father. The Father said, "You are my son, and I'm really, really happy with you. In you, I am well pleased." So I want you to have a vision for who you are called to be. And I want to challenge you today to think of this. Are we living by accident? Are we simply living out somebody else's life? I think sometimes we fall into the trap, the error of thinking that there's neutrality around this subject, that, well, I'm not really living out God's vision. I'm just, you know, like treading water. I'm, you know, going around in circles. And I think the world, the flesh, the devil, Satan has an agenda for your life. Satan has a vision for your life. The culture in which you live has a vision of what your life will be. And whether we will admit that or not, all of us are influenced by that culture. All of us are influenced by our parents, by the ways in which we were brought up. You know, it's interesting. I have a dog at home, a wonderful dog called Aggie. She's getting a little older now. She's probably about 12 years of age, but just a labradoodle, really lovely character. And yet when we were, probably made the mistake when she was a really young puppy of not training her well about letting her go. You know, we'd let her go into our garden and at times she would run off. She found out that one of our neighbors had chickens and, you know, we'd try to keep her in and, you know, this. But once the neighbors started calling the police and we decided, hey, we can't really let Aggie, our dog Agnes, go out without supervision. And for all of her adult life, I mean, occasionally we'll, you know, let's try her again. We let her go off, and she's a great dog. She always comes back, but she likes to bolt and run. And, you know, I have some friends, and of course many of you have heard of this before, who when their dog was a young puppy at that age would have one of these invisible fences around their property. They'd put like a wire system with an electrical radio signal, I guess. And when the collar on the dog, when the dog gets near the wire, this little shot goes off. And really quickly, in a kind of Pavlovian way, if you will, the dog learns not to go near those boundaries. And now, years later, my friends, that collar, they could throw it away. The dog has forgotten all about the collar. The dog can run towards the road and something on the inside of it will stop it. And it doesn't even probably know why. I'm sure it doesn't remember why. It doesn't recall why. Something in it says this far and no further. Can I suggest to you that happens to you and that happens to I? All of us. We, our culture, our upbringing, the different experiences we've gone through limit us. We limit the Holy One of Israel. God is limitless, but we limit Him in our experience when we put Him in our box and define what He can and cannot do. And my encouragement to you simply is this. Are you willing to go on a journey with me where we let go of our vision, we let go of our lens, we let go of the perspective through which we've looked at the world, and instead we put on God's vision? We stop living by accident. We stop living by outsourcing our vision to somebody else, even good people, and we say, Lord, be Thou my vision. Be Thou my Lord. Be Thou my guide. Yeah. Great old hymn. Good. Hey, I'm going to continue in tomorrow's lesson by talking about the plan that God has for your life. Thanks for making it this far. Again, I really encourage you to get this book. It has been a blessing to many. Again, thanks to Brian Simmons for writing the foreword to that. You'll find that on Amazon, and there'll be a link below to download or have this delivered to your home. Boom. Do check out all the other links below. Hit the subscribe button, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Bye for now.